This conference will now be recorded.
6:15, we're going to call a Labor Committee meeting of June 8th to order. We have a roll call vote, but again, on Zoom, it gets a bit awkward. So for the council, we have councilors Meske, Davis, Alvarado, and Schwantes in attendance. From city staff, we have HR Director Beckman. We have Dr. Ramstead, City Minister Grammons. I see Rob Bumgarn and Sarah, I think that's Sarah Svedberg, Sean Christensen, Britta Dim, and Gary Manzer, I believe, and Shelby Lindrud from the Tribune. Anybody that I missed? Excellent. Yep, that's definitely Gary now. Thank you. Welcome. First item on our agenda this evening is the Planning and Development Internship. I would assume that that's HR Director Beckman, if you would. Is that not?
Oh, no, that's fine. We had put all part-time staff on a hiring freeze in light of COVID-19. Last Labor Committee, we discussed bringing back our part-time rec staff and lawnmowers for public works. And so this time we wanted to bring up the option of also hiring our planning and development intern over the summer. This was something that was approved in the 2020 budget already, but we had been holding off on hiring for the position since we had placed all part-time positions on a freeze. We wanted to bring this up to the committee and get it on your radar, as we would like to have someone hired this summer to help with the comp plan. And I can let Dave can expand on that more, but I know that would be kind of a large part of their responsibility, is helping Sarah with that. And we do have their job description in the packet for you as well, so you can see what other duties they would be assisting with. I know we have money in the budget as well for planning and development. It was budgeted already, so there shouldn't be any other issues.
Questions regarding the planning and development intern position? Councilmember Schwantes.
So thank you, Sam, and Mr. Chair. Do we have someone in mind for this position already? No.
We have not advertised at all because everything was put on hold. So if it's given the okay to go ahead tonight, I'll post it online so we can start getting applicants a few minutes tomorrow.
Okay. And I completely understand that. Tough to get, you know, trying not to get the cart before the horse. It's just that this late in the year, it's going to be tough. It'll be a hard find, but you know what? Good luck, right?
Councilmember Alvarado.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When would be the targeted date for startup? Do you have any idea, Sam?
As soon as possible is what I'm guessing Dave would also like as well. So as soon as we found someone and could get him in the door.
Okay. And how? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's actually worked out pretty good, because if we had hired the person at the beginning of, you know, like early spring or something, this COVID and, you know, some other delays with the hiring at Mid-Minnesota would have really messed up our whole point of using the person for a comp plan. So actually hiring them now, if they are local, hopefully we can hang on to them into the fall and, you know, utilize our budget for it. And it'll actually put them right at the point when we're transitioning over to the mayor's task force on the comp plan, where they could be extremely valuable.
Great. You nailed my second call question. I was thinking when it might end, and it sounds like it would be fall. So thank you.
I guess I have a question for the city administrator. If we move this position, I know we were holding kind of a hard line and we allowed a position in finance to go forward for you know, continuity, if you will. This might open that up. Do you foresee, if this position's approved, many of the other positions that may have been held back now moving forward? Are we setting a precedent with this position?
I don't necessarily see this as setting a precedent. This is a very temporary part-time position, in essence, for a specific project for the most part. Bears little resemblance to, you know, other regular or even part-time jobs that we would have. It would be, you know, on the level of importance. It all depends on which chair you sit in, that would identify that. But interns usually are the last ones, kind of a thing to be considered. But given the timing and the ability to maybe get working on the comp plan, sometimes you just got to do what you have to do to get the work done.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments, concerns? Committee, is there an appetite to move this forward?
I'll make a motion to do so.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to move forward with the planning and development internship or intern discussion. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor, roll call Samantha, please, if you would.
Fuentes?
Aye.
Davis?
Aye.
Alvarado?
Aye.
Messi?
Aye. All right, clearly that passes 4-0. All right, thank you. The next item on the agenda is the Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center possible opening. Who do we have to speak on that this evening? I see Rob's light going on. Perhaps it's Rob Bumgarner. Rob, you got the floor?
Yes, thank you, Chair, member of the committee. I kind of maybe feel like this CAR report of maybe just a titch outdated, since the governor did release new orders regarding the pool and everything. So I'll just kind of here's the motion to authorize the closing of the Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center and the splash pad until the governor's orders state to reopen for public use and reassess the financial impact at this time. Recently, this last week, the governor did change the orders where the pool can be up to 50% capacity to be open. A lot of it was beforehand, it would be for like lap swimming and swim lessons and team type of competition. Now the bathers can come in. So like the open swim times could happen with the new order.
Are anybody else hearing the same? I'm having some audio difficulty, Rob. Well, I think we missed your last minute and a half. Rob, you're still not coming through the audio.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. Is anybody else?
No, perhaps you could telephone in.
I think that's a good idea. I was going to say we can go to the next item, but is that also Rob's item, the bikes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe in the meantime, Gary could update us on the, I assume that's maybe why you're here, Gary, to update on some of the problems at the pool, the leakage issues. Or is that not correct?
Yeah.
You're 100%.
We'll wait for you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
So just a little history. We had the pool resurfaced this year, and we were just last week we started the circulation system up to get water in the pool. He's still trying to talk, I think. I'm kind of getting. Well, anyways.
Go ahead, Gary. Yeah.
So anyways, we started the pool up last week, and we discovered water bubbling up in the ground underneath a couple of spots by the water slide. And so with some investigating, we got a camera, and we shoved down some of the lines. We found two lines that I've got. One line we can see gravel in it where the line is busted. We figure that's right outside the filter room under concrete. And then the other one we figure is broke underneath the water slide someplace, and that's a 10-inch line. Then when we run that water, is bubbling up in the grass and stuff around the pool surface, or around the outside of the pool. So at this point, what we're doing is we're losing quite a bit of water. So that's treated water that we're losing, you know, with chlorine and acid and stuff in there to keep it balanced. And we need to get a contractor in there to investigate it further and do the repair on it. And I don't know that we could really, I mean, the pool operates right now, but we just don't know what we're creating with all this water running where it's not supposed to be. And we're losing quite a bit of water with that as the chemical, you know, so to keep the levels correct, it's taking a lot more chemical right now. So at this point, we know that we've got two breakages in two different lines is where we're at. So I guess I'd be open for questions about it. I guess
any questions regarding the repairs? Councilmember Alvarado.
Thank you, Gary. I was just wondering now, that one around the slide, are we going to have to tear up some concrete and locate the pipe, and how extensive are we expecting, or is it too early to tell?
Well, with what we've investigated so far, we know that we're under concrete in both the spots that need repair that we can figure out best that we can figure. But I think at this point, I would want to call in somebody that's got a little more experience in that and see what our options would be. I know sometimes there are certain kinds of pipes they can reline and stuff, and I don't know if that would fall under this, but I mean, that would be some options to explore, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, how old is the pool?
I think it was built in 2004, I think, somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, it's going to start to have some maintenance issues, obviously, because of age, you know. So, okay, thank you, sir.
The one line is it's a overflow from the surge pit. It's a 3-inch line. And last summer, when we had all that water, we noticed we were starting to get some water bubbling up in or coming through the floor in our sump. We have like where the pumps sit, it's like a miniature basement type area. And we just didn't know if that was due to the high levels of water in the ground. But when we put a camera to it, we could find that we found a void in that particular line. And then this 10-inch line just showed up this year when we turned the pumps on, and all of a sudden we had water coming up on a couple different spots.
Gary, we're going to need the council to make a decision to move forward with those repairs. I mean, I know we're getting a quote now, but I'm curious on the time it's going to take to repair those, because they're probably going to be fairly extensive. And if the governor does open up anything later, we would probably still be behind that much farther to get those repairs done. Curious on where we're going to be in that process, or are we just kind of wait and see?
Yeah, we just really at the end of last week is we found out what was going on exactly. So we knew we had this meeting coming tonight, so we haven't really looked into getting somebody out there to a professional to look at it and come up with a plan. But I would imagine if it's extensive, we'd have to get like an RFP put together for the actual repair of it. I just would, you know, feel more comfortable getting somebody in there that knows a little more about it than, you know, we just know we have these two pipes that have breached, you know, allowing breakages in a couple of spots.
Councilmember Alvarado.
I would kind of echo what Gary said about concerns about that water that has been treated and having it run unabated, so to speak. That would be a concern for additional damage occurring around that area. So I agree that we should bring in some expert, or have the Public Works bring in some experts to determine what it's going to take to fix it. But I would be worried about free flowing water out of that pipe for sure.
Well, I would agree as well. I think the recommended action on the pool is appropriate, but I want us to see move ahead with the repairs right away and offer that up, because you've seen what happened with the previous repair. We kicked that down the road for a couple years, and I think we need to be ready in case we can open this pool up, that we should have it working properly and be able to do that in a timely fashion. Additional questions for Gary? Thank you, Gary. Rob, are you on and want to speak to this issue?
Well, that was, can you guys all hear me now?
Yes, absolutely.
I apologize for that. I usually have pretty good internet out here, but no, guess not. So apologize for that. It's just kind of the CAR report is a little outdated just because of the governor's new orders and the information that we found out with the pipeline late last week. So I you know, the CAR report's probably a little invalid right now just because we want to close it because of the governor's order, but it's probably going to be more due to a repair that needs to happen. I guess our biggest question would be is, once that repair is done, do we need to come back and reassess? Do we open it if it's in the middle of July or the first part of July? You know, what type of service do we want to be able to provide for the community? And then the ripple effect with it is going to be the splash pad. Because everyone's going to be asking, if the pool's closed, is the splash pad going to be closed? Because the splash pad is a little bit different. That's not treated water. That's just regular city water that comes through the spray feature. So one thing that Britta and I have been talking about is, so we can keep order down there and social distancing, we could put the signs up, but do we put one or two staff people this there just to remind people there, you know, practice the social distancing, do some disinfecting around, you know, the play features, the benches, and that type of stuff. So I guess I would like to see the splash pad be open, but yet with some, you know, guidelines for people to follow, or to even have some of the lifeguards there just to make sure that we are, you know, safe.
Councilmembers, questions for Rob? In particular about the splash pad. Rob, I'm just kind of browsing through the governor's comment here, the order. Splash pads and untreated water, how do we address those? Because this seems like it's mostly for pools.
The order really doesn't bring up the splash pads all that much. I think it's going to be a local decision that could be done. I just think it's going to be, you know, educating the public that, you know, you still have to practice social distancing. You know, you got to do the hand washing, you know, before and after you get done using it. You know, just use some of the common sense type of things that go on with it. It's kind of, if you want to say, it's almost like a playground feature that the DNR is saying. Granted, we are using water, but I think it's going to be an option if the pool's not going to be able to be open, that we at least supply the splash pad with some supervision there.
Rob, what are the capabilities for hand washing at the splash pad? Would we be able to add something there? And I would say we obviously would need some very clear signage also there to mitigate some risk and to provide more safety.
Yeah, we can provide the hand sanitizing that we have. You know, there are restrooms there as well. I think that's something that we can have with the staff there. We can just educate them that way as well.
Council members, questions for Rob? Oh, so there you go. I can see you, Vicki. Vicki, you're in my bottom row. You're always in that blind spot when you're in the bottom row. Go ahead.
So I'm wondering, in the pavilion there, there's a bunch of tables, picnic tables. And last year I noticed it was pretty full. Is it possible to move some of the tables out maybe to spread them out farther?
Yes, that's going to easily be accomplished, or even remove them totally so the gathering does not happen, and the cleanliness of them.
Rob, can you review what is the current disinfecting of the playground equipment that's done at Rice, and is it okay to use those same disinfectant products on the splash pad and those elements there?
Currently, the playgrounds are not being disinfected. It's part of the signage that is there that you know, you're responsible, you're taking the responsibility of being at the playgrounds, that you need to you know, do the social distancing, you know, the hand washing before and after and everything. But I've talked to Hilliard's, who has a product, and we have that product on hand that we are going to be using for all of our rec programs as well. It's a solution that kills off the COVID-19. So we're going to use that type of a solution on our rec equipment that we can bring down towards the splash pad as well.
Rob, is there a way to run that product through the splash pad water at the end of the day usage and have it disinfect most of the area itself?
I would have to defer that question to Gary, see if there's some type of a tap that we can put in there. Gary, do you know if that is doable, that we can put the solution through?
At this point, there's no way of doing it without doing some, we'd have to do some investigating and some plumbing and stuff, but right now, no, it's not.
Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. According to the governor's press conference last week, COVID-19 is not transferred through water. So that's a good thing to know. I think that given the hot temperatures we have and the forecast for a very hot summer, that I think that a splash pad is very important for people. Especially with the swimming pool not being available. And I think that as long as we're complying with the governor's executive order, I would be in favor of opening the splash pad. I like the idea of having a couple of lifeguards there, at least one, two, if you think that's the best, to help to regulate staff, and they can easily clean down some of the things as people come and go. But I think it's probably one of our safer things, you know, to have out there and available. So I think our kids are going to need it, and our daycare moms are going to need it.
Other questions on this issue? Councilmember Alvarado.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Councilor Schwantes. Obviously today and very hot, very warm. Kids are looking forward to being in the water. it's good to know that the virus isn't transmitted through water. Kids love water, so I like the idea of the lifeguards maintaining some sort of cleaning standard around the water splash pad. So I think it's real positive. And with all the work that we went in to get that thing up and running, I'm pretty sure that we should be having it run. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Rob, do we have a calculation of what the 50% would be for the splash pad area?
Mr. Bumgar, did you get the question?
I think that would be a very hard number to put on there. I don't know if there is even.
Rob, you're breaking up again.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Rob, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Brian, I don't know if I know that number because of the difficulty of having the whole square footage of what you're at. I'm guessing it's going to be between 100 kids that can be at the splash pad.
I don't know if you're tailed off again, but I'm going to say that if we're going to open the splash pad and have people there to supervise, that number's got to be something they have in their head. And when it gets to a certain number, that they're going to have to tell people to wait their turn to utilize the splash pad as others come off. Otherwise, we will not be practicing and adhering to social distancing.
Mike? My guess is we would have to measure the square footage and come up with what that footprint would look like, you know, as far as how many people can be in it. I got to figure we can figure something out, you know, but we'd have to measure what that square footage is of the splash pad and then work backwards from there and what would be the safe distance for each person.
City Administrator Grammets.
Yeah, I would agree. I was just envisioning the whole place packed and 20 kids get to play. And that would be frustrating for me as a small child to see everybody playing. So I think there needs to be a number that's even allowed in the door. Because that if that's the only thing we have operational, that'll be the focus. So we'll work that through. Staff can figure out what that number is. We've got the ability to figure the area, and we know what a 6-foot circle looks like. So I think we should be able to figure out a number that could potentially be playing, and they'll just have to regulate that as best they can.
Motion to approve opening the splash pad, provided the discussion tonight.
Second.
The motion to reopen the splash pad with the caveats of social distancing and signage to make that recommendation. Discussion around that motion. And I think this, the signage really has to be not just a duplicate of the playground stuff if we're actually going to open that full bore. We think it's going to be utilized the way it probably will be. Because I know that the go at your own risk, but then we have people dedicated there to make sure there's still social distancing is concerned. I would think you may want to align that more with the governor's order that perhaps, you know, children with fevers and or coughs will probably not be able to use the splash pad during that situation. I don't know what it would look like, but I think we're going to have some very clear signage there, because I can see when someone's going to be, we exceed capacity, there will be some very upset parents, I would think. City Administrator Grammets?
Yeah, I would agree, and we'll take that into consideration when we create the signs. So what I'm anticipating that the motion is saying is that we do open the splash pad and that we hire adequate number of staff to make that happen. Would that be accurate?
Correct. Okay. Further discussion? Councilmember Alvarado.
Thank you. I agree with what you were saying there, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, that we have to have some sort of signage explaining the protocols to the public, so that we don't put all that responsibility on the lifeguards. It's going to be a tough enough job watching the kids. I know they're not swimming, but policing the number of children out there, and anything that we can do to make the public more aware of why we're doing what we're doing, I think that's a good thing. So it might be a trick coming up with the proper wordage, because it sounds like this is one area that's not getting the attention like a pool is, or some of those other bigger water features.
Councilmember Davis.
So I'm just thinking about this and wondering, are we going to rope it off so there's a clear edge to where the kids can be? Because I've been there and kids run in and they run out, they run to the park and they run back. And I don't know how we're going to count how many people are there or determine who left and came back. You know what I mean?
I think we totally know what you mean. That it's going to have, that's what I say, I think some additional instruction is going to be warranted here. You know, I think you're going to want kids to be able to all take a turn. You know, when it's 95 degrees, you don't want the kid, you know, family to be there all day while others are waiting their turn. So I don't know how that'll work out, but I'm confident that the staff can come up with a plan with that. Gary, I see your light on. You have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I agree with what Vicky said, that we're going to have to create some entry points and somehow to corral the people to come in and out in the same area or something. It'll be a challenge, but I think we can figure it out.
I think the council and staff were all on the same page. Further discussion on the motion to reopen the splash pad with the caveats we've discussed. Hearing none, Samantha Beckman, are you ready for a roll call vote?
Yes.
David. All right. Vicky, should start with you.
Yep, Davis.
Yeah, aye.
Alvarado.
Aye.
Mesky.
Aye.
Schwantes.
Aye. And I'm hoping that since there are a number of us on this committee that are on community development, that no one on community development will be offended that, or park and rec maybe. I don't know if it should have gone to, since this really isn't, I'm not sure if it's truly a labor issue, but so be it. It's all good.
Well, it will require more people to man it. So I guess there's okay. A labor spin for you. All right. We do also need to address the Dorothy Olsen Aquatic Center. The recommendation, as you heard, was to keep that facility closed per the governor's mandates, also the repairs that are there, but looking for some direction to send to council. City Administrator Grammets.
Yeah, I agree that it we need to fix this before we open it up for public use. I would recommend that you know, Gary utilize his knowledge of firms to come in, whether it's an engineering firm or, you know, plumbing firm, somebody, but we need to get somebody in to look at it and give us an idea. You know, if it's under $25,000, obviously that's an over-the-counter kind of a purchase or repair in this play, in this particular situation. And I think we can, you know, we can get in and get it done. Once we start getting over 25,000, we end up going into the two quotes to be obtained, and that could take just a little bit longer, but you know, an extra 5 days or a week, whatever, just to get the paperwork back. So we'll run it through the normal process. If it requires, you know, major expenditure exceeding 25,000, but if we can get in and get it taken care of, I think that's just a maintenance function at this point in time, and we can take care of that at the department level. So it'll be up to Gary. Find somebody to come in and give us an idea of what we're talking about. I'm not taking a bet that it's under 25,000. It could very easily, with all the concrete and the excavation that might have to be done, and we don't know how much soils has left the area and went out with wherever the water was going. You know, you could open it up and it'd be a big hole, and now you got to fill it back in. So it'll have its own challenges. It's probably very wet, so they're dealing with, you know, hopefully it's not mud underneath there. Gary probably knows what's underneath it. I'm thinking it's fill of some sort, you know, gravel or sand or whatever, but the water's got to be going someplace.
Yeah, sorry, Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, so we'll get going on it right away tomorrow. We'll get some professional people that we work with on pool stuff, and we'll move forward from there. We'll try to get it going as fast as we can.
Just to stay true to our labor focus, I'd offer a motion that the Dorothy Aquatic Centers remain closed while staff works out the maintenance schedule on it.
I would make that motion that we not hire any staff for the pool at this time until we get the pool facility up and running properly.
Second.
Motion made and seconded, and I would assume I can add that it also is related to the Executive Order 20-63, the maker and the second of the motion. So we're not just making it a caveat of the maintenance, but also in compliance with the governor's executive order.
Correct.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing, City Administrator Grammets.
Just for clarification, though, Executive Order 20-74 would allow a pool to open at 50%. It's just that our pool is broke. So,
well, I'm looking at the history on the report here. I'm reading the second paragraph under history. Last sentence says the governor orders do not allow public open swimming at this time. Executive Order 20-63.
Yeah, that was the last order, and then this last week, he offered 20-74, which then opened up to 50% of capacity. And that's why I was kind of bringing up the whole idea of the splash pad, is because even the splash pad can be open under the 50% capacity. And so we have to identify that capacity. And so we'll do that. You know, Rob and Gary, you know, Sean and I, we can all get our heads together and figure out what that capacity is. But that's where Rob was saying his action form was from last week before the governor's new order. So we could be open, but because it's broke, the pool, we won't hire additional staff to operate the pool yet because it can't be open. And we have no known date when it will be open. I mean, literally, this could take 2 months to fix. I don't know. You know, so that's just want to clarify that so everybody knows that the new order would allow it to open if it wasn't broke.
Thank you for that clarification. I think that's an important one. Discussion on the motion for the Dorothy Aquatic Center to remain closed while repairs can be done. Hearing no further discussion, HR Director Beckman, if you would, please.
Yes, Alvarado.
Aye.
Teske.
Aye.
Schwantes.
Aye.
Davis.
Aye.
And for clarification, Davis, were you the one who did the second?
Yes, she was. All right, that passes as well. Our next item on the agenda is the Wilmer Bike opening. Is that Park and Rec Director Bumgarn, please?
All right, can everyone hear me now?
Yes.
All right, we're good? All right, the next one, agenda item, is the bike share program and to launch it. We're recommending to launch the bike share program for the community use. That's the motion. Last year, we started this bike share program with 40 bikes and 10 hub stations around the community, where it gives people affordable chance to use the bikes for recreational use, but yet for transportation around town. We've had those bikes closed now, but with the governor's orders with the DNR, we can use those as playground equipment type of equipment that we can use. We would be able to post signage, and that signage was in your guys' packet that we can have at the hub stations where they would sanitize them themselves. We can try to provide the wipes, but I think that if we provide the wipes, those wipes would go out fairly quick, or they'd be not used for the proper purpose of it. So talking with Britta, we thought that we could use the same disinfectant that we are using for the rec equipment and now the splash pad, that we would go out every night or every morning and disinfect the bikes so they're ready for use. There's really not a lot of financial impact, because we would just be able to do that with our rec staff in the mornings to go down and spray the equipment down for people to use the bikes.
Questions from committee members? Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you. So I'm not sure, perhaps the executive orders have been updated again, but when I read the equipment rental and it specifically references the bikes, it indicates that if procedures are in place to clean and disinfect the rented item and all associated equipment like paddles, life jackets, after every use or rental cycle. So because of that, unless again this has been updated, it's on page 4, not sure what document within the packet I'm looking at, but it is from the Minnesota Department of the DNR, the Outdoor Recreation Facilities and Public Guidelines. But pursuant to following the proper protocols for cleaning, I think it's great again to have this out there and available for folks. Obviously, we're seeing people using our parks and being out and about. And I think, again, whatever we can do to relieve some of the mental stress and pressure and get people out enjoying themselves, the healthier it is for everyone.
Other comments? I do share those concerns. I think it's great to disinfect at the beginning of the day, but yeah, in between riders, putting the onus on the person who's riding it when they're also paying to ride it is unfortunate. I do understand leaving a bunch of sanitizer rags and other things there. Those will probably disappear because they're very hard to get a hold of, and someone would see that as an opportunity. I don't know how to answer that, unless you can tell when they are returned. But that would again set somebody who has to go around to the various sites and disinfect it multiple times during the day. And I don't think that's a very good use of our staff time.
I think if we show a good faith effort of putting the disinfectants out there and make them available, and should someone come along and take all that are there, so be it. We've done our diligence and we're checking it regularly and refilling. I mean, it is going to be a problem, but I think as long as we're making our effort to do that.
Well, I know, but I think that what I heard, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, we were not going to provide sanitizing things at the sites for the bikes. So I just heard that we have staff disinfect at the beginning of the day sequence.
That's correct. Not the wipes, but I think that we can provide like the sanitation bottle where they can spray down, you know, the handlebars and the seats that they use, and get that on some type of a, if you want to say a wire type deal, so they just can't go and take the bottle. We can figure out something, but so there's that capability of still disinfecting them afterwards, after every use, and then we can come back and do it in the mornings. And if we see a lot of heavy use, then maybe we come back midday, or we only bring out so many bikes per station. You know, if we do Robbins Island or the trailhead and just have the bikes there, then we can track them with the GPS tracker. Also on the Colony app that we have, it does explain to them, you know, the ramifications and all that stuff with the COVID-19. So people are aware of it, that they know that they're taking this bike with these potential risks.
Thank you, and that alleviates my concern. Other counselor questions? Did we make a motion?
Motion
on the floor.
The motion I have was
shared, but I will. Excuse me, Rob, go ahead.
The motion was to launch the bike share program for the community use.
Samantha, you did get a second on that?
That was the recommended motion, but I don't think anyone actually made that motion.
Okay, that's what I thought. But did I just hear Councilmember Schwantes, did you make that motion? I'm still waiting. If there's a second, if I don't get one from the other members, I will offer my own second.
Chair? I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion made and seconded, discussion about reopening the bike program with the safety precautions included. Yes, Councilmember Alvarado.
And I'll direct this, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to direct this to Rob. Now, Rob, are you going to have signage there also outlining the expectations and the risk and those sorts of things?
Yes, we've already got like a prototype of a sign done, ready to go. We can just tweak to it to what we ever need to do. So the sign is almost ready to go.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? I mean, with all of these things, there is some personal responsibility that comes into play. I mean, as long as we are providing all the safety mechanisms, and it goes beyond just the bike program, as long as we're providing those things and people know the risk factors that are there, there is some personal responsibility that comes into play here. So I'm fairly comfortable every time we do address safety. City Administrator Granitz.
Yeah, and I think just for information purposes, many of the documents that we've been looking at, the DNR, the Department of Health, they have remained unchanged for a period of time now. And it's been recognized about the time that we opened the playgrounds up that materials, stainless steel, you know, metal, wood, were not as potentially infection prone as compared to being close to somebody, you know, 2 to 3 feet away and talking to them. So even the state has recognized that metal surfaces, playgrounds and things of that nature aren't nearly as susceptible to infection. And I guess I'm just pointing out that many of the materials that we're still hanging on to were created prior to that determination by the state. So not that it's good, not that it's bad, it's just that they have changed their mind a bit, but the documentation, the guidelines really aren't following as fast as I would hope. And that's just the way the their system is set up. So
very good. Further discussion on the bike, opening the bike program. Seeing none, Ms. Beckman, please.
All right, Metzke's up first.
Aye.
Fuentes?
Aye.
Davis?
Aye.
Alvarado?
Aye.
All right, that motion passes as well. Next piece is miscellaneous. Is there anything else that needs to come before the Labor Committee this evening?
I have nothing.
Thank you. All right, anything else? I'm seeing no green mics coming on. If that is the case, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
It's moved and seconded. We are adjourned again. Thank you for your attendance this evening. It's nice to see that we're slowly moving things back into an open category, keeping safety as the most paramount decision maker for that. Have a good rest of your evening, and we'll see you soon.
Gary, do you have just a second? I dropped off, we got all the items sanded from the playground. I dropped them off at Suzanne's.